Justin Trudeau's new online harms bill is the biggest threat to freedom of speech in this country. It introduces nothing short of a surveillance state replete with snitch lines, kangaroo courts, and mass censorship. But rather than sounding the alarm bell, the legacy media in Canada is doing the Prime Minister's dirty work and smearing the opposition. It's Fake News Friday. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to our Turner channel, leave us a five-star review if you enjoyed the content, and don't forget to head on over to our website, www.tnc.news, where you can sign up for our newsletter so you never miss a story. Okay, so we covered this on the show on Tuesday, but earlier this week, on Monday, the Liberal government, led by Justice Minister Arif Virani, introduced their new censorship bill, Bill C-63, which they call the Online Harms Act. It was tabled in the House of Commons. I walked through the entire bill on my show on Tuesday, so I encourage you to go check that out if you haven't already. Basically, the gist of this bill is two things. It really tries to do two things. One is the whole protecting children from what they call sexual exploitation, porn, all that kind of thing, the predation of predators, protecting children. But they also included this entire other component, which is cracking down on so-called hate speech, harmful content, including introducing all kinds of new punishments and really dangerous territory, things that you can get convicted of for simply writing your opinion online. And if that opinion goes against sort of the ruling mob, you could find yourself in a great deal of trouble. So according to the government's own communication on this bill, they write that the government of Canada is introducing legislation to combat harmful content online, including the sexual exploitation of children. So again, the emphasis is entirely on protecting children. And then they kind of just like sneak the other components in. And that is the greatest concern, because these other components are what we should all be worried about. True North covered this. Our article writes that the Liberals' online hate bill contains $70,000 fines for speech and potential life imprisonment, all for speech, not for being convicted of any crime, but just for things that you write potentially online. You could go to prison for life. The bill increases the maximum sentence for what they call advocating genocide, which is incredibly loosely defined. They don't say what they mean by advocating genocide. They don't even say what genocide means. But for the crime of advocating genocide, the punishment went from 5 years up to life in prison. You go to prison for life for simply writing things online. So as you would expect in a free society, a lot of people oppose this bill. All of the leading civil liberties and civil rights organizations came out against it. So this is the left-wing Canadian Civil Liberties Association. They put out a press release urging substantial amendments to the Online Harms Bill. They write that one troubling aspect of Bill C-63 is the vast authority bestowed upon a newly established body comprising government appointees to interpret the law, make up new rules, enforce them, and then serve as judge, jury, and executioner. Granting such sweeping powers to one body undermines the fundamental principle of democratic accountability. Furthermore, the bill's provisions, which include sweeping new search powers of electronic data with no warrant requirement, pose significant threats to privacy rights. The bill provides for unacceptable intrusions into individuals' digital lives. So, like I said, this is a surveillance state. We're talking about government commissioners empowered by themselves, operating on their own. I think this says it perfectly when it says that this government body will act as judge, jury, and executioner. One of the things that the Civil Liberties Association also mentioned was that Bill C-63 risks censoring a range of expression, including journalistic reporting. So even the left-wing Civil Liberties Association is ringing the alarm bell, saying journalists should oppose this bill. Journalists should be worried because it will censor journalistic reporting. Similarly, the more libertarian associated or oriented Canadian Constitution Fund also came out opposed to this bill. They wrote about their concerns. It says here, the Canadian Constitution Foundation is deeply concerned by the Online Harms Act introduced in the House of Commons on February 26th will significantly hamper constitutionally protected expression. And here is a quote from Executive Director Joanna Baron saying the Justice Minister Varani has tied these speech restrictions to defensible measures like removing images of child sexual exploitation material and revenge porn. But don't be fooled. Most of the bill is aimed at restricting freedom of expression. This heavy-handed bill needs to be severely pared down to comply with the Constitution. So I think this is a really important point, really interesting point. Don't be fooled. The whole point of this bill, most of the bill, is about restricting freedom of expression. They lead with the idea about protecting children, but that's really not what this is about. It's about so much more. And likewise, Michael Geist, who is the former head of the CRTC, he is a law professor, and he wrote on his website why the Criminal Code and Human Rights Act provision should be removed from the Online Harms Act. And yeah, he was the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-commerce Law at the University of Ottawa as well. And he breaks it down pretty clearly. He says that Bill C-63 is effectively four bills in one. So first is the Online Harms Act. Second, it's the expansion of mandatory pornography reporting. Third, it's the criminal code provisions, which opens up the door to life in prison for committing offenses that are motivated by hatred. And fourth, it's changes to the Canadian Human Rights Act, which restores the hated Section 13. And so basically what he says is that there's a huge difference between the first two and the latter two. The first two are focused on the obligations of internet platforms in addressing online harms, while the latter two have nothing to do with internet platforms at all. So he's basically urging them to split this into two so that we can have a proper debate on this. And that's what you would come to expect, right? You're going to put out a piece of legislation. It's a huge omnibus bill, essentially covering four different things. And rather than criticizing the bill, as these civil liberties organizations and as these law professors have done, what do we see from the mainstream media? Well, that's a silly question because we know exactly how the legacy media is going to cover this. They did exactly what the Liberals wanted. They did exactly what the Justice Minister did when he introduced the bill, which is that they focused entirely on the keeping kids safe part, on the popular part, on the thing that almost every Canadian can agree with, and they didn't really bother to address the second half. So this is how Global News Toronto covered the news. This is how they introduced it to the Canadian public. Let's play that clip.
The federal government has tabled a long-awaited bill designed to protect children from online harm. Bill C-63 promises to tackle child endangerment online and put a stop to the non-consensual sharing of intimate images. Changes to the Criminal Code and the Canadian Human Rights Act will also be made, and it will be mandatory to report online child pornography. The bill also includes stiffer punishments for hate propaganda and a pledge to hold social media platforms accountable for the material they host.
So again, you can just see by the way that this is covered, is it covered exactly the way the Liberals want it to be covered. This is all about safety, all about protecting kids. It's all about making the internet a safer place against predators, which again, is probably something that we can all get behind. It's something that Canadians all generally agree with. Let's protect kids. Let's keep them innocent. Let's not let them around creepy perverts. Like that's pretty basic stuff. But the media isn't telling you the truth about this bill. They want you to think that it's just about saving kids. The CBC Toronto or the Global News Toronto thing is pretty innocuous. It's pretty just basic bad reporting. But then you get into like the really malicious stuff. So here is how the CBC decided to cover the story. They went into the archives. They reached out to Amanda Todd's mother. Remember, Amanda Todd is the 15-year-old girl that committed suicide back in 2012. Back in 2012, she committed suicide. She posted a YouTube video explaining how she was being bullied online, how she was the victim of sexual exploitation, and she ended up sadly, tragically killing herself. Again, this is 12 years ago now, right? So I know it was a huge story at the time, and it led to a lot of sort of public awareness about how to engage online and the dangers of having children acting sexually online. You know, the reason that Amanda Todd was so tormented is because she would go onto her webcam and get naked in front of the boys in her grade. And then they use those images to bully her and kind of blackmail her. It was all very tragic, very sad. But the CBC is bringing up this story, track down the mother of this girl, this poor mother that had to live through that horrible tragedy of her daughter killing herself. And here they have her coming up to defend Justin Trudeau, to explain why Trudeau is right to introduce this sweeping new legislation. So we have that clip from CBC, aired on February 27th. Let's play that clip.
Joining me now for reaction to the bill is Carol Todd. Her daughter, Amanda Todd, was a victim of cyberbullying and online sextortion at just 15 years old. Carol joins us now from Coquitlam, British Columbia. So, Carol, thank you for joining us. How do you think this act could help teenagers who are facing some of the same struggles that Amanda did?
I think this Online Harms Act, we can call it an online safety legislation, we'll put another layer of protection and safeguarding on the in the online world, where kids and youth and even adults are in daily and hourly, right? And so we need to have the social media platforms and all these things in place for liability, for privacy, for protecting our citizens.
This is so manipulative. So they take this poor mother, get her to explain how somehow this bill, which I'm guessing she probably hasn't read the bill, this woman, but she says that this bill probably could have saved her daughter's life. So her daughter, again, tragically died because she was engaging in antisocial sexual behavior online. And rather than having a parent who was there to guide her child and say, no, don't take your clothes off for strange men on the internet or for boys on the internet or for strangers on the internet, instead she's saying, what we really need is more government legislation to create a censorship regime, and somehow that would have saved my daughter's life. I mean, again, the whole thing is so cynical that CBC would even reach out to this woman as if she's some kind of an expert on the topic. Why? Because her daughter was involved in a sad, tragic story. This mother let her daughter down. I'm sorry to say, but she let her daughter down. Again, one of the things that I don't think that we talk about enough is how dangerous the internet can be for children. It's not good for kids. Parents should take on more responsibility in stopping their kids from spending too much time online, from engaging in antisocial behavior online, from doing things like what Amanda Todd did. Parents should take a greater role in protecting their children. We shouldn't turn to the government to demand vast layers of censorship and surveillance and all kinds of things to protect kids. Parents should be the ones protecting kids. So I'm really opposed. I think it's disgusting that the CBC interviewed that woman, played that clip. But again, that's sort of what we can expect from the CBC. And again, just emphasizing the part that Justin Trudeau wanted to emphasize, the part that this is just all about saving kids like Amanda Todd. If this legislation was in place, Amanda Todd wouldn't have killed herself, apparently. It's just really manipulative stuff from the legacy media. And another thing that we saw the media doing, this is a story from the Canadian Press, and you'll recall that the Canadian Press does receive funding from the Trudeau government. They get a multitude of funds, including the Canada Periodical Fund and the Local Journalism Initiative, which are grants from the Trudeau government to pay for its funding. So the Canadian Press wrote a story. The headline that they gave it is that child safety and not censorship is the focus of the online harms bill, according to Trudeau, right? So it says, child safety, not censorship, the focus of online harms bill, Trudeau. And this headline appeared in newspapers across the country, using exactly Trudeau's perspective, verbatim, saying it's just about child safety, not about censorship, which is what Trudeau wants you to believe. Just take a look at this. This is what it looked like on Twitter. You can see that every single headline had said the exact same thing. It was just Trudeau's words wrapped up into a headline. Literally, the legacy media just take Trudeau government talking points, take the Liberal talking points, publish it as news. This is what happens when you have a bought and paid for media. They just do exactly what Trudeau says. And so within that news story, you can see the exact same thing. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is promising that his government's upcoming bill to legislate against online harms will focus on making the internet safer for minors while not censoring Canadians. Of course, that's what the Liberals say. They're lying. The Liberals aren't telling you the truth, but that's what they're saying. And then instead of being, you know, skeptical about it and being critical of it, which is the role of a free press, the media just tells you what Trudeau is saying about the bill, barely even mentioning what all these other opposition people are saying. It's a huge bait and switch, right? They're saying it's about child safety, which I think most Canadians get behind. I have my own concerns. I think, again, it's probably the role of parents to do a lot of this kind of stuff rather than a heavy-handed government. But I think most parents, most Canadians can get behind the idea that there should be more protections for kids online. Fine. The bait and switch is that, as the critics said, as the Civil Liberties Organization, as Michael Geist, as law experts, law professors say, this is getting into censorship territory. This is getting into surveillance state territory. So they do the bait and switch. And then when all else fails, they simply go to attacking Justin Trudeau's opposition, Pierre Poilievre. So we saw a taste of this last Friday before the bill was even introduced on February 23rd. We covered this in the show as well. True North's own Andrew Lawton was at a press conference with Pierre Poilievre last Wednesday. He asked a question about the upcoming online harms bill, because everyone knows it's been coming down the pike. They've been talking about this legislation for 2+ years. So we've known it's been coming for a long time. Pierre Poilievre was asked about it, and he didn't mince words. Let's just put it that way. I played the clip on my show yesterday. He came out swinging against Justin Trudeau. Well, here is Breakfast Television's Sid Sexero. He's a very popular broadcaster. He's got a big following. He's a sports guy. And I'm going to play this clip. I'll walk you through it. I'm going to point out a couple of my critiques about this way that the media go after Pierre Poilievre. But here is Sid Sexero from last Friday, prior to the legislation being introduced, but criticizing Pierre Poilievre proactively for criticizing Trudeau for the upcoming Online Harms Act. So let's play that clip.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Canada's federal political situation. Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives have been sitting pretty easy here for a while. And depending on the poll that you look at, reputable polls in this country, the Conservatives are anywhere from 15 to 20 points up, depending on the week and depending on the story. Justin Trudeau and the Liberals have a long way to go. This is just a latest example. This is a Nanos research poll. 17.
Just pause it there for
lead.
A second. Justin Trudeau has a long way to go. So even just the way he's talking about it, you know, Pierre Poilievre is popular because he's talking about the issues that Canadians agree with. Canadians are so tired of Justin Trudeau, so tired of his divisiveness, so tired of his left-wing agenda that is making life so difficult for so many Canadians. I mean, I don't have to go through it all. You guys know what I'm talking about. Obviously, the Conservatives are up because they have a more popular leader and they have better ideas and Canadians want to change. But the way he's prefacing this whole thing, saying that Liberals have a way to go, they got to catch up, they got to win this thing back, and you can see that's where this is going. Okay, let's resume the clip.
For Pierre Poilievre and the federal Conservatives. Now, again, we're not looking at an election till October of 2025 ish. That's kind of the time frame. But yesterday was a very interesting day because Pierre Poilievre, in a media availability, kind of let it fly. And we haven't seen this from the Conservative leader in a bit. Here is a synopsis of what was said yesterday. Pierre Poilievre is against impending legislation that would combat hate speech, terrorist content, and violent material online. The bill isn't even written yet, but he went after Trudeau for that. He also said Trudeau is not the leader.
Just the way that he phrased that again. So he's saying, you know, the Liberals are introducing this great bill that will go after hate speech and terrorism, and Pierre Poilievre has the audacity to go against it, even though it isn't even written yet. I've got news for you. It was written. It was written last week. It was written 2 weeks ago. This thing had been leaked all throughout the press. By last Friday, it was written. I mean, it was introduced first thing Monday morning. So this guy is not even factually correct to say the bill isn't even written yet. It's come through several iterations. We've been seeing it coming, like I said, for a long time now. Hence why Andrew Lawton asked Pierre Poilievre that question in the first place. So it's not even factually true. And just the way that he presented that bill there is designed to make you want to support Justin Trudeau. And like, how dare Pierre Poilievre have the audacity to come out against a bill that censors the internet? Okay, let's keep playing.
Peter, to introduce this legislation because he wore blackface and racist costumes in the past. Poilievre went on to say he is against transgender women in female bathrooms, changing rooms, and in sports. Also, he said Trudeau should stay out of New Brunswick provincial legislation that would no longer protect 2S LGBTQ plus students in school. So there are a lot of very important issues here.
Again, just pause it right there. The way that he frames that, he's saying that Pierre Poilievre said to stay out of New Brunswick schools. And then what was happening in New Brunswick schools? Well, the way that Sid explains it is that somehow the government was cracking down on gay kids or cracking down on sexual minorities. Well, that's not what it's doing at all. It's just saying that the parents need to be informed if a child wants to sexually transition, right? But the way he framed it was about protecting kids, which I've talked about in the past on this program, that the media, they don't tell you the gory details about what they're talking about. They just use these kind of broad sweeping euphemisms, protecting kids, protecting gay rights or whatever, when really there's something a lot deeper. And just to what Sid said before that, that Justin Trudeau wore blackface and Pierre Poilievre noted that. Yeah, I think that's pretty important to note that a guy who, again, we know Justin Trudeau's past. We know that he was sort of a reckless ne'er-do-well who didn't do a lot in the world before he decided to get into federal politics. He ran entirely on his name and the fact that he was a Trudeau and that he was the son of Pierre Trudeau, and kind of used his celebrity power to weasel his way into becoming the leader of this country. And we've been stuck with him for the past 9 years. But I think it's perfectly fine and perfectly correct to note that Justin Trudeau has this past. Like, the way the journalist is talking about it is like, how dare Pierre Poilievre mention that our prime minister used to just be like a total jerk and like totally insensitive and kind of racist. Like we already knew that came out before. So Pierre Poilievre shouldn't talk about it. It's like, no, that's relevant. Pierre Poilievre can mention that all he wants. Okay. I think this clip's almost over. We'll just play the rest of it here.
He made a decision on publicly, Tam, and there were also just pot shots towards Justin Trudeau. Now, for those who've known Pierre Poilievre a long time, they will tell you this is Pierre Poilievre. The Pierre Poilievre that will just go at you. Now, the other side is the Conservatives have spent a lot of money trying to soften his image because there are some people who believe that's not electable. I don't care what the polls say, that is not electable in certain parts of the country.
So just having like an analysis there as to whether Pierre Poilievre is allowed to be mean in politics, whether he's allowed to take pot shots at the Liberals. Newsflash, it's politics. Watch 5 minutes of question period and you will just see pot shot after pot shot back and forth. That's what these guys do for a living. That's what we want them to do. We want them to vehemently disagree and oppose each other. I used to talk about this a lot on my show. The thing that drove me crazy the most when Erin O'Toole was leader of the Conservative Party was that he agreed with the Liberals on too many things. So there were too many times where there was unanimous consent in the House of Commons where everybody agreed, where they passed these sweeping bills or these motions, and there was no opposition at all. And they would cheer that on as if that was like a sign of progress in Canada. No. We don't all agree in this country. And the point of an opposition is to oppose the government. And that is what Pierre Poilievre is doing. He happens to be very effective at it. And that is why Canadians are so supportive of him. We saw that poll, 40%, 42% to the Liberals, 20%. So Canadians want that. It's good for the country when we have people opposing the government and we have different views being represented in our parliament. And yet we have these journalists sort of hand-wringing and feeling upset about it. And like, how dare Pierre Poilievre say mean things to our prime minister, using the euphemisms and using government talking points to talk about the important issues in our country. And, you know, this goes to a deeper problem. So like, what is really going on here? What is the deeper concern with this bill, with this censorship, with Trudeau's new introduction of a surveillance state? There was another story that came out this week that I wanted to quickly mention and tie together because this is a big story. So on Thursday, we learned, it was sort of a bombshell report, that the fired scientist from the Winnipeg lab had in fact worked closely and covertly with the Chinese government, this according to a CSIS report. So basically, CSIS just finally confirmed what we have all known for a very, very long time, which is that these two scientists, these two federal government employees who were working in a microbiology lab, national lab in Winnipeg, they were escorted out of their jobs, out of the lab in 2019, and then they were fired in 2021. We've known about this for a long time. We've speculated that these were spies, that these were people working with the communist regime. Well, CSIS has basically just come right out and confirmed that. A huge story, incredibly important for Canadians to know that this was happening on our grounds. There's so many examples of sort of Chinese interference, Chinese presence, communist presence, the Chinese communist government, sorry, not just Chinese, but the Chinese communist government having a presence in Canada, being deeply sort of involved in our institutions, having clandestine plans. And this has just been confirmed. But if you remember at the time, when the Conservatives were asking these questions, when Canadians were asking these questions, I want to show you how Justin Trudeau responded to those questions at the time. What did he do? Well, he basically accused anybody asking him questions of, you guessed it, being racist. This is Justin Trudeau's favorite play from his playbook. If you ask him a question he doesn't want to answer, he'll come up with a way to call you a racist. Let's play this clip. This is from May 26, 2021.
Will he commit to ending this research and this cooperation with a regime that not only doesn't have our interest in mind, but actually wants to hurt Canada?
Honorable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, yes, from the beginning of my career onwards, I have worked with many Chinese Canadians and indeed had fundraisers with them. And the rise in anti-Asian racism we're seeing over the past number of months should be of concern to everyone. And I would recommend that the members of the Conservative Party, in their zeal to make personal attacks, not start to push too far into intolerance towards Canadians of diverse origins. We will continue to stand up to defend Canadians' interests, Canadian security. We will continue to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep Canadians safe while participating in the global research community and stand up for tolerance and diversity.
All about tolerance and diversity there for the Prime Minister. So if you so much as ask about the scientists who were escorted out of a lab right before COVID hit, and then later we learn that they were actually communist spies. But if you even ask about that, it's because you, what did he say, have a zeal for personal attacks and you're engaging in anti-Asian racism. So that's Justin Trudeau's first favorite play out of the playbook. Accuse your opponents of being racist. The second thing that Justin Trudeau does, and we saw him doing that just the other day, was that he blames conspiracy theories. He blames independent media. He blames what he calls social media drivers. This case, it was talking about the declining trust in the media. And he truly believes that the only reason that he's behind in the polls and the only reason that Canadians don't like the media anymore is because they're being fooled and they're being tricked by conspiracy theorists. So that's Justin Trudeau's second favorite play. And his third one, as we'll see in this clip, so this is from back in October, Justin Trudeau's dealing with a sort of heckler on the street who confronts him and just says, you're ruining the country. What does Justin Trudeau say in response? You must be listening to Vladimir Putin. Yes, that's what he said. Let's play this clip.
Look at his buck tee, bro.
Pleasure to see you as well. Hey there, how you doing?
Shaking your hand, bro. You're a fucking piece of shit, man.
Why is that, sir? Up the entire country, you got our buddy over there.
How did I mess up this country?
Can anybody afford a home in this day? They're charging people carbon tax. You got nine V8s here idling for 30 minutes. Your carbon footprint is increasing. We're getting charged for what?
You know what we're doing?
It's
with
not
the
stopping.
Tax?
No,
we're putting a price on pollution,
right?
And we're returning it to families like yours.
I don't think so. You're sending it over to Ukraine, right?
No.
Yeah. You send it over to the guy that you were with that slaughtered his own country.
You've been listening to Putin, have you?
Putin? No. Definitely.
You've been listening to Putin, haven't you? I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of vulgar language and heckling someone, but you know that there's a patriot out on the street, common sense guy, pointing out to the Prime Minister some true facts about the carbon tax, about the hypocrisy of having all these SUVs outside idling while we're paying more in carbon tax. Trudeau tries to go into his basically like his list of lies about how the carbon tax is actually good for you and you actually get money, which is not factually true. And then the guy says, you're sending money to Ukraine. And he's like, oh, you're listening to Putin. You're a conspiracy theorist. The only reason you don't like me is because you're listening to the enemy. You're basically a traitor. So what does this all say? Justin Trudeau, we know this. He wants to silence his opponents. He wants to divide Canadians. He wants to separate us into little groups and pit us against each other and divide us. He truly believes that people who oppose him are propagandists or conspiracy theorists or just flat out traitors. And now he is weaponizing his ideology into legislation. He wants to make it illegal for you to disagree with him. Not just illegal, he wants you to pay a $70,000 fine and face life in prison for saying or thinking the wrong thing. This puts a chill on freedom of expression in our country, because even if you are thinking about posting something, you might have a second thought because of this. You don't know exactly where the line is, because we don't have definitions for any of these things: hate speech, propaganda, advocating genocide. We don't have definitions for them. We know those words have been taken out of context and manipulated over the last several years by the sort of Orwellian language police. Like, what does the word genocide even mean anymore? People get accused of committing genocide for all kinds of reasons, for all kinds of things. We hear that there's a trans genocide, or there was a First Nations genocide at residential schools. These words don't even have meanings anymore. But the idea is that you can face fines and potentially go to jail just for saying the wrong thing. If Canada were a free country with a free press, the media would be ringing alarm over this assault on our freedoms, on our God-given right to freedom of speech, the most important of all freedoms. But sadly, Canada is not a free country. We do not have a free press. We have a media ecosystem that has been bought and paid for by the Trudeau government, by the Liberals. And so the media, they don't do anything. They do the opposite. They cheer on Justin Trudeau. They applaud his efforts to censor opinions that they don't like. And they gaslight you by telling you that it's all about protecting safety and protecting children. Well, it isn't. And this is more than just fake news. This is a coordinated attack on our basic and God-given freedoms. And every Canadian should oppose this bill for those reasons. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you have a great weekend. It's Fake News Friday. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show.